Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I, yes, I. Malcolm, Malcolm, Ahud. Malcolm, good, beautiful in a sense of good in His Majesty's Bible. And Ehud, Ehud is the first day. So here for the first day service, here on the ear and in the iris right here. Here we fulfill, right, Shabbat Wayikra, and also fulfill the reading, the Torah readings, right, for this Shabbat Wayikra, Sabbath. And he called Senbet Tarito, he having called. So here we have the Brit Chadasha to come forward right here, and a very interesting third book of Moshe right here. But a little word on the Haftarah Wayikra. Yiftain Sinai, brother, fellow co-labor, fellow disciple, Ras Sahar Ahad. The reading right there is in this third book, but actually I think it was the reading from Jeremiah, but still very, very appropriate here for this third book and for the theme, Habarim, concerning the handbook of the priests, concerning the offerings, the sacrifices, concerning the shadow of what the Brit Chadasha, as we are told, the New Testament, is the substance, right, in the new and the living way. So there's a couple of themes to pick up on right here. And now we have a little opportunity between the reading from the Old Covenant, right, the Brit HaYeshana, and coming forward with the Brit Chadasha in the new and the living way, pointing to the key book of Hebrews, right? There's a part in the Aliyot for the Torah reading for Shabbat Vayikra where it says, and before the veil, like before the veil, like before Jehovah, and then the next part of the phrase was before the veil, like that is to say, how is it before Jehovah, he who be, we be, that heaven and earth can't contain? Well, it's before where he says his presence, his name will dwell, right? So in that sense, it's before the Ark of the Covenant, because it's there that he says he will meet with the Bnei Yisrael, so the office of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, who is HaMoshiach, who is anointed. That's another key theme that Aaron and his sons within the New Testament, comparing and contrasting the pattern, he is the Christ and the Christians are his sons. The same relationship we get right here with Yeshua HaNotri. So just seeing how the pattern, where it lines up and how it lines up. But here the reading actually for the prophets was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21 to chapter 44, verse 23. So we give thanks right there. And we also like to, you know, make reference to the reading that Brother Sahar Ahad did bring forward, because that reading is very appropriate to a central theme where it says that he did not, where is it, Jeremiah? Jeremiah was this, let's get this right here, Jeremiah 7:22 says, for I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. This is key right here. This is key because how do we get Leviticus? Well, we get Leviticus because they got the golden calf or the molten, more correctly, the molten calf. And therefore, the firstborn sons of Israel, who's, we say, ancient, you know, amongst many other peoples too, right, those who sacrificed, though different peoples had their different customs. We see a custom in the Torah, in the scriptures, in the glory of His Majesty. We see a custom in the Bible where the firstborn sons, you know, we say the patriarchs, where they offered. And they also offered, you can almost say, whithersoever, right, the spirit in them, you know, told them to offer. You know, but here now we get a different something. We get where this firstborn rite of sacrifice that we have with the sons of Israel, even from the very beginning with Cain and Abel, or Cain and Hebel, we have this being transferred, right, to a particular tribe, right, and the tribe of Levi. And within that tribe of Levi, Aaron and his sons would be the priests, as we say, as a pattern and a principle to remember that all the priests are Levites, but not all the Levites are priests. So another question can come forward. Well, then what's the difference between the priests who are Levites, say Levitical descendants from Halevi or Levi, and the others who are not sons of Aharon, sons of Aaron? And also the fact that it is only the high priest, say Aaron in this first instance, the first Messiah, the first Christ here in the Torah, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Bible, and his sons who are the Christians. So thus, this hopefully will help to make clear the New Testament references that point to the Torah, right, and that point to the likeness and the fulfillment in Yeshua HaNotzri, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christos, being I and I, high priest. I remember there's only one high priest. There's chief priest. That's a different title, different terminology. Depends on where, you know, their priestly function is. But here we're looking at the pattern, right, the pattern. See that you do all things according to the pattern. So Jeremiah 7:22, it doesn't contradict what we have here. Well, some would have a fallacious or a false reasoning and say, well, these commandments were not given from Jah, from Jehovah, from the God of Israel, right? Because he says right here that he didn't command burnt offerings and sacrifice. A good thing we studied even some of the, you know, atheist accusations and speculations concerning the Bible, because we said, well, our admittance, faith, belief, as one can say, is true, you know, and the inclination in Yahweh, then I must be able to, you know, take on these so-called contradictions. I think I showed it in the video and everything, but what they would do is take the same verse, right, and then the part they would have like a dot, dot, dot. For I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them, dot, 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 right, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. I've seen that in many atheist documents, and people will argue, but they won't go to the original script or the context of the subtext. But here the context is that John did not command them, right, in the day that he brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the Exodus, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. We can see that the people were already sacrifice ready, right, when they was waiting for Moshe, and they didn't know what happened to Moshe, right, and they decided upon themselves to do sacrifices, and this whole thing with the molten calf. Isn't that interesting right there, that they did that right there? And then they did this in order to go on in the tribe, in the wilderness. But then right before that, they said that all that Jehovah has said, they will do and they will obey, which literally is they will do and they will hear. That's why I pointed out earlier that the word Shema or Shama, like Shama, he heard, he having heard the word for hear in them Amharic Sema, Sema or Mesmat, Mesmat, hearing. Faith comes by hearing. But they did not wait to hear the further instructions. After they said, after the 10 words in Exodus chapter 10, Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20, we have the 10 commandments. We have the sons of Israel saying, we can't hear the voice of Jehovah anymore, lest we die. They actually said that. They said, Moshe, you be our intercessor. Let Jah speak to you, and then whatsoever he says to you, this is where they further again affirm the oath that they had given and their word they gave in the beginning to enter into the covenant. So the Israelites broke the covenant. The sons of Israel broke the covenant. Therefore, whatever terms that would have been in that covenant were no more. So we have here in the erecting of the sanctuary, the building of a sanctuary, and the contributions of the Israelites in the latter part of Exodus, in the point of view of the Israelites, this is the forgiveness now and the restoration of the covenant. In other words, the renewing of the covenant is, for all intents and purposes, a new covenant. Because the first covenant they had broke, they were basically in a twilight zone, right? Moshe went back up for another 40 days. This time they waited. Moses came forward, and here he announced, right, the contributions, the gifts. And here's also with the new tablets and how his face shone, they were confirmed or convicted that, yes, the covenant is renewed, almost like a sigh of relief, right? But also now what is coming forward here in the third book is who could give offerings. In other words, any offerings or any sacrifices, right, anywhere else among any other ones was basically uckery, is basically a violation of the covenant. If a man sought to give an offering, or a woman or one among Israel sought to give an offering, they would have to do so through the tabernacle and through the Levitical order, right, and through the priests, the anointed priests, and the sons of Aharon, of Aaron. So this is why when we look at the New Testament and the sense of it that Yeshua is our high priest, and now we have this right, right, to the function of the full covenant when Josh said that he sought for Yisrael. He chose Israel to be a kingdom of the priesthood and a holy, a set-apart nation. So we see where the kingdom function was still among Israel, right, but that priesthood function was regulated by the tribe of Levi. Right. Anyway, my brothers and sisters, just to put that word there forward right here, because this is laying the foundation for understanding and understanding this whole idea of sacrifices. Now, we have 16 questions to share right here in light of what we have already heard and hopefully gone through, at least basically. 16 questions on this Shabbat, and he called Shabbat Vayikra. Here, as we pick up with the handbook of the priest, keeping it, as I and I say, keeping it Levitical.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments, If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian.
Yes, you hear it right there. Where Gurmah with Nagusa Nagash is in Pearl Majesty, is asked, you know, his advice to young people, and he says, for all. And he points to the same 10 words, the same 10 commandments that Jehovah spoke, right? Himself, Elohim Ha'av, Elohim the Father, spoke these words. Right? In the beginning was the Word was with the Father and Son, and the Holy Spirit spoke these words. And the children of Israel, the Israelites, they were afraid to enter into the thick cloud, the darkness where Jehovah was. Only Moshe entered into. And they even pleaded that Moses be their intercessor. Yet, look after that, where Moshe went up to confirm the covenant. They had broke the covenant. So it was like, since you like to sacrifice so much and you are sacrificing inclined, but yet a lot of their understanding of sacrifice, no doubt, was what they experienced in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, in Kemet, right? And therefore what Jah is doing here is regulating, right, their sacrifices, but it is not obligatory because the key word, if a man chooses to sacrifice. But here, I'd like to ride up right here, give thanks to our Sahar Ahad again, because that verse right there, a very important verse in Jeremiah, which is the the Haftarah for the upcoming, right, the style coming forward. But here from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21 to 44, 23, right, to 44, 23. I'd like just to read this, share this, to put this eye in our ear, as the Haftarah, right, for the prophet's reading for Shabbat Vayikra, for the beginning of Leviticus. So here, chapter 43, chapter 43, and this chapter is superscribed, The Chosen Nation, Redeemed and Restored. This, once again, further emphasizes the point, right? This here further emphasizes the point that he chose Israel. He chose the patriarchs, the Hebrew Trinity, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He chose them, right? And therefore, he chose the sons of Israel, the Hebrews, out of Mizraim, because he had chosen and found delight in their forefathers and foremothers, no doubt. And yet now they entered into a covenant, and because they got bummy and jumpy and whatever, you know, they went ahead and had this molten calf and called the molten calf their Elo. And this is after the 10 words. So when we go to Exodus chapter 20, there's a footnote, there's a rider statement. After they told Moshe, they said, Moshe, you be our intercessor. Let Jah speak to you and you speak to us. And whatever Jehovah says, we will do and we will hear or we will obey. So in the Hebrew, v'nishma means and we will hear, but it also means and we will obey. So the hearing, obedience, hearing, Shema Yisrael, why is that so important? And then there's a writer statement in Exodus chapter 20 where it says, don't make gods, where it says, for me of gold. Let's go right here for a moment just to connect the dots right here so that as we go through the narrative, hopefully the item will have those old moments, you know, like, oh, yeah, because you'll see it for yourself. And it's like watching something. You watch the movie, you know, when you was young, but you never really paid attention, never got it. And then you happen to watch it again when you pay attention. Say, oh, that's why, you know, that was that. So here in Exodus, so here in the previous book, the second book, Exodus chapter 20 at verse 22 is what we call the Maftir, right? The additional Maftir reading. After they said what they said, Jehovah said to Moses, thus thou shalt say to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons of Israel, y'all have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. So look how interesting this is when Karmawi Nagusa Nagash is Imperial Magic Karmawi House Selassie, the first power of the Trinity. Nagusa Nagash, Ethiopia, the King of Kings of Ethiopia, Suyumek, Ziavia, the elect of the sustainer of the name, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, right, he said, fulfill, note the word, fulfill, according to the translation, fulfill the Ten Commandments. And these are the words he spoke. So here, Jehovah says to Moshe, right, y'all have seen, tell them that y'all have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Now, these are the words that Jehovah was speaking to them. He was talking, and people said, oh, man, can Big Brother speak to us instead? Because if we keep hearing Daddy speak, you know, Abba speak, you know, we die. This is what they say in chapter 20 of Exodus. Right? Then the writer's statement here is, y'all shall not make with me, with I, gods of silver. Neither shall y'all make to you gods of gold. Another important, very important and interesting area of study is the divine commodities. Right? Commodities. Right? The divine commodities. That's why it says the Torah is what gives us the power, the ability to get wealth. Because we study these things in the full study, we both see, you could say, the spiritual or the metaphysical kind of use of it, but also the practical application, right, of the gifts of Jehovah to I and I. It says, y'all should not make with me gods of silver. So now silver in the Hebrew commodities speaks of redemption, right? Redemption, right? So the shekel is the silver. Ethiopia is, we say, the true currency, the ancient, the covenant currency is the bur. The bur is also the silver currency. So the shekel, basically in principle being silver, equals the bur. Neither says, shall y'all make to y'all, gods of gold. And it's interesting that when they came to Aaron, right, Aaron said, you know, get that gold. And it was the molten calf was made of gold. Right. And then further, there's further things speaking about the altar of earth, right? Thou shall make to me. And then it says like any kind of altar, right? If you make an altar of stone, thou should not build it of hewn stone. So it's saying that if an altar of stone, it should not be stone that you cut into a shape, but it should be of the earth, of the creation. Now, that's interesting. That's a very interesting note right there when we start to look at the sacred geometry level of creation, right? The science, the mathematics. We're going on a basic level right here, but hopefully ones can see, you know, even taking those baby steps, how it links. You know, like, for example, what you will, present before me, before the veil. And then in the new covenant, it says that Yeshua, right, a new and a living way that he has fulfilled, he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So likening now, right, according to the allegorical type, because yes, the scripture has allegory, right, but the metaphysical, right, foundation for the metaphysical or the root, because the root word of metaphysical is the phi cycle, right, the physical, yes? Yeah, so anyway, what Josh says about the altar of stone, it should not be hewn. If you study the sacred geometry and how crystals and stones are naturally or by creation form, right, and then when somebody takes, like, you know, and cuts it down, it breaks up that kind of sacred geometrical symmetry, right, and it's like the root of creation in a sense. So it's interesting that Josh, he points it out. We make this a sacred geometry, like, note right here in Exodus chapter 20. So these metals, right, and these items, they all have their use, and here in the Torah is direction, instruction. But here, let's go forward right here with this reading right here for the Haftarah, right, but give thanks to Sahad Ahad, because we got kind of a sneak peek in moving forward, right, with the Jeremiah reading, and also to follow up on some important notes into what John says, that he didn't command sacrifices, burnt offerings or sacrifices in that day, but it was because of his children's, you know how children are, you know, hard-headed, stuck on their own way still. Like as Matthew says, you know, they lack wisdom. They lack experience. How can they know it? You know what I mean? They lack wisdom because they lack experience. So John is teaching his children through experience, and the tabernacle is like an object lesson writ large. So here, Isaiah 43, the chosen nation redeemed. That's what happened in the wilderness, and restored. That's what happened even through the means of them building the tabernacle, and also now the Levitical order, this priest order, if they should choose to sacrifice, where and how and through whom they should do. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. Basically, John is saying that he will not accept, even if we give it to him, if we didn't do it through the priest and through the tabernacle, it would not be accepted. It's as though, you know, we might think we sacrifice to him, but we in covenant, and knowing this and doing different would be a violation. Here we have the Shema Woman says Kedusa Hadu Amla. You know, this people, right? This people have I formed for myself, John says here, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall shoot forth my praise, Jah Rastafari. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, O Yaakov. But thou hast been weary of me, O Yisrael, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee with incense, with ashes. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou, the eye has made me, made I to serve with thy sins, with thy uppery, thy fookery. Thou hast wearied me, wearied I, with thine iniquities, thy perversity, the Hebrew sense of it. Verse 25, I, here we have the I and I, the divine I and I, Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, the italics is not there, so I, he, Anna, Anoki, Anahu, I, be he, Here we have the Hebrew Trinity, right? The Holy Trinity, the true Trinity. Verse 25, He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins, thy uckeries. Put I in remembrance. Make I and I plead together. I like to say, make I and I reason, come make with reason together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, ucked up, and thy teachers have transgressed against me, against I. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Here, chapter 44. Here, superscribe the promise of Haruach, the promise of the iron, the promise of the spirit. The folly of idolatry. Yet now hear, Shema'ah, yet now hear, O Yaakov, O Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yahweh, Jehovah, he who be, we be, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, that will help thee I. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant, Abdi, my servant. Some translate as my slave, but my servant. And thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water up on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit, Ruchi, Menseseh, Ainai, Irit, upon thy seed, thy race, and my bracha, my blessing, my increase upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the course, by the water courses. One shall say, Ani, I, Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah's, another shall call himself by the name, the Shem of Yaakov, and another shall subscribe his hand, Yado, his hand, La Yahuwah, to Jehovah, to he who be, who he be, and surname himself by the name, the Shem of Yisrael, the name of Israel. Thus saith Yahuwah, Jehovah, Melech Yisrael, Yisrael Negus, the king of Israel, and his redeemer, Yahuwah Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth of armies, of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, beside I, there is no God, there is no El, no Elohim. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, make them shew to them. Fear y'all not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, that Iowa, and declared it? Ye y'all, even my witnesses, is there an El, an Elohim, a power higher beside me, beside I? Yea. There is no power, no El, no Elohim, no Chayav. I know not him. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they, their own witnesses, they see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed that El, a God, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Make them all be gathered together, make them stand up. Yet they shall fear, they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs, both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, that he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh an El, Elohim, a Hayel, a God of power, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh, deadeth. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof, he maketh an El, an Elohim, a Hayel, a power, even his graven image. He falleth down to it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth to it, and saith, deliver me, for thou, Elohai, Eli, my God, my Hayel, my power. They have not known nor understood, understood, overstood, for he hath shut their eyes, that they cannot see, and their hearts, that they cannot understand. And none, no one considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge, science, da'at, nor understanding, overstanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, in the ash, in Ifat, yea. Also, I have baked bread up on the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh, that is, and eaten. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination to Eba? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver Nafsho. He can deliver her. He can't deliver her. He can't deliver his soul. Nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Yaakov and Yisrael, for thou, Abdi, my servant, I have formed thee. Thou, Abdi, my servant, O Yisrael, thou shalt not be forgotten of I. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins, thy uckeries. Return to me, return to I, repent, for I have redeemed thee, the I. Sing, sing, O ye heavens, for Jehovah hath done it. Shout, ye your lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye your mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For Yahuwah, Jehovah, has redeemed Yaakov and glorified himself in Yisrael. Hear, 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 yes, I. Full of full right here of the Haftarah reading here for this Shabbat. Vayikra, yes, I asked for I.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning Jah created the heaven and the earth. Then created man of his own likeness. Gave unto man wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Melcom, the food. Right here, the evening psalm that's appointed here for the first day as evening and morning in that order. Right here, the evening psalm. First of all, the Royal Amharic right here, the HSC. Yes.
مزمور 23 بقنف 24 بمجمريا سنبت يداويت مزمور مدرنا مولاوال اكزيابهيرنا علمم بأرسوام يميورهن ارسو بباهروچ مسرطوالنا بفساشوچم ماتنطوالنا ود اكزيابهير ترارا ماني وطان بقدسنا وصفرا ماني قوم اجوچو ينسو لبوم لسوه هنا نفسوني لكنتو يالا نفسا لبالن جراون بشنغلا يالماي ارسو كاك زيابير زند بركتن كمدهاني تو عملاك مهرتني كبلا ايشي تو لدرسوني متفلقنا ياكوبين عملاك تيتين متفلق انان تمخوانن توچ بروچن كفتو يزلالم دجوتي كفتو يكبر منقوسي قبا يكبر نقوس مان نو اك زيابير نو برتو النهاية እግዚአብሔር ነው በሰልፍ ኃይል እናንተ መኳንንቶች በሮችን ከፈቱ የዘላለም ደጆችም ይከፈቱ የክብርም ንጉስ ይግባ የክብር ንጉስ ማን ነው የጭፍሮች አምላክ እግዚአብሔር እርሱ የክብር ንጉስ ነው
ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው
ክብር ንጉስ ነው Yes, King of Glory here in Lasagna.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi.
The whole place is due for
help. That's why we're here for this first day service, Melkan the Hood, Shavua Tov, yes I, a good Tov, a good Shavua, 7 days here with the head day, the Yom HaRishon, the Rishon day, or Ethiopically, the Ehud, by standing for the first. The days are the ancient numbering, just by Rastafari. But here, first words that we say from the liturgy of His Majesty here on the first day, here on the Ehud, yes, I, Rastafari.
Sos enya be lete Ehud yemibal. Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkin yasara senvetina yakabram sohulu sadikno. Wode ekaziavi heram lukota yegeba. Commitmentana yilayena yohona fetchmoibel. Sidkin yasara senvetin. Yakabram so hulu sadikno. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer Ekaziaber Cha Astafar I. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senvet.
Melkam, 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 Ehud, yes I, to you and you and you. Good first day, yes I.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. 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 Selah.
So me no know if the money them a run down. Why them we look about them judgments and them not look to the east. So me for the money them a run down. Why them we look about them judgments and I know them not see. So me a lot of judgment and them not know where judgments appear from. Boy must it take rock me body fear and. But I'm like Jehovah and I'm like Aaron. Man and a father Albert, man a father Abram. Words in my mouth and the body in my right. And come to separate the good, the good, the good from the Aaron. Yes, me have been one the United Nation. One Alvarez and the one named Clinton. Yes, I them go about to the Pope and Satan. But I see Pope, yeah, man have been the vaccination. And God give it till I see cultivation. Not a from the nation. Not the money, them are run down. Why them really go about them judgments and them not look to the east. Tell me for the money, them are run down. Why them really go about them judgments and I know them not see the bubble man. Them are not true. Dropping me turban and me dropping me robe. Some say them are my friend but them are too wet this sword. Never see me with me burden, much less with me load. I'm corrupting a sea of me from the road. You not read Zion, you not know the road code. Them not want me drive Benz and all Lexus off road. Me suffer them now like a toad. And the money them are run down. Why them really go about down judgment and them not look to the east. Tell me for the money them a run down. Why them really go about down judgment and I know them not.
I and I say this to say that in the abundance of water the pool is thirsty, thirsty. With the
river water is available, but it's invisible. Empty. In the abundance of food, the fool is hungry. Whatever food they not eat, those fat, but in the belly, empty. Life is what you make it, so believe it or not. The wise man built his house on top of the rock. If you come in the family, son, then you're a fool, the idiot. Some of them must be taken where you think it's yap. Foundation of the deep and strong. Follow the footsteps of the wise man. How you pick us up, no pin or sinking sand. In a bitter world of competition. In the abundance of water, the fool is thirsty. Whatever water is available, but still in vessel empty. It's some man that has both better most. After all that has been said and after all that has been done, you better reach it what you need and you won't get done. Cause a rattle race in the world we live in. Everyone just a program to win. To what we watch how they bend the long thing. I'm on with take your ear and you don't get a thing. The fool now no get it in, nothing can take. Now no get it in, no walk up and sweat. The fool now no get it in, no stick out him neck. Now no get it, you're sleeping in your brain. Abundance of water, the fool is thirsty. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. Well, we say, oh, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time, no time. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. Well, we say, yes, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time. Well, them won't get me out, but it's not an easy task. They tried many times before and couldn't pay the cost. So now they must smile, but we know it's just a mask. They want to kill, we have to, we know what city marks. But when we visualize, we saw it's broken in the eyes. Mr. Big Ed, little Janga, he's like me eating no ties. I'll do what them criticize. Kill me over from them disaster. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. And we say, oh, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time, no time. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine.
Oh, do you really think I'm ready for? Oh, do you really think I'm fighting for? Oh, do you really think we'll win this war? Yeah. Oh, do you really think I'm ready for? Oh, do you really think I'm fighting for? Oh, do you really think we'll win this war? Hey, they know no love, and they show no love. I see they grow no love. That's why they grow no love. Well, love is the only thing they bring in. Oh, oh, oh. They just want the empty dog of row. Me, my dad, my father, all of them tell me so. Hey, don't talk about God, I people in the blow. I can always hear this whistle in life we low. Lift that broad road and take the one narrow. The broad road will lead to the pain and sorrow. Blood for all and a gun in a barrow. So ask them, who do you really think I'm working for? Who do you really think I'm fighting for? Who do you really think we'll win this war? Who do you really think I'm working for? Who do you really think I'm fighting for? Who do you really think we'll win this war? Hey, they know no love. And they don't know love. Hey, they grow no love. That's why they grow no love.
Yes. Important note right here, due to daylight savings time, at 2 o'clock here we have like 1:50, about like a little less than 10 minutes right here. Well, actually 1:51 right now. Yes. So that means like about 9 minutes. I think one should call in right now because something's going to happen. The hour, like we have like 1 hour and 9 minutes on the board. And usually we'll have the third hour, but it's going to go into this third hour now. So basically we're going to have 2 hours, and one might not be able to call in. Hopefully the live stream that's playing on Rastafari Student. Rastafari Student on the YouTube will continue to play. So as long as we're going to try to push it to a kind of a third album, probably not going to, it'd be a big push, you know, a big squeeze, as it were, just due to the daylight saving time and technology. But just giving ones and ones a reminder right here. Now, I'll say the next like 8 or so minutes will probably be a good time to call in. I'll give a reminder to ones and ones, because on the board we have how much time is left, and recalling what happened last spring, you know, the spring and the fall, these little glitches happen. So expect about 2 hours, you know, for the full of full this hour, and hopefully the grace, you know, yes, Rastafari. Call in to hear the full of full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. 515-602-9761 to hear the full of full now. Call in. Call 515-602-9761. Call in 515-602-9761. Call in 515-602-9761. Call in.
So much love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends. When I say more, you say fire. More fire.
King Celestia is the Almighty Eye. I mean, big bad sound like justice. This is Sister Kalunja passing through.
So much love to all my friends. Much love to all my friends. Much love to all my friends.
So here for this first day right here, we have the Brit Chadash. We have the Addis Kidan reading here. This will probably lead us into what we expect to be the grace period of the podcast. And we give thanks to I and I fellow disciple Ras Ayasen Tafari for the read right here. So we're going to write out the Brit Chadash here for the first day, Rastafari first day service, a.k.a. Sunday service.
Uno righteous apostle serving the Almighty, come rally round that throne, rally round the justice sound, cause that soon I must go down, and justice wear the crown, justice be ready now.
Justice, now read it!
Here is the Baraka, the blessing for the reading of the New Covenant reading, New Testament reading, right here. Yes, sir.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarik Ha'Hadasha. Baruch atah Adonai Notain Habarik Ha'Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the Universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Chadash Aliyot. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
The Brit Chadash Hadis Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 24. Vayikra, and he called. From Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 18, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. We begin, B'shem Ha'ab, Ve'Habin, Ve'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Beit, verse 3, Gimel, verse 4, Dalet. Ki ha-Torah b'hiyot ba-tel ha-tobot ha-atidot v'lo mareh etzem ha-dbarim. Ein biyakalta leolam lehashlim et hakrebim bakarbanot hahim Asher Yakribu Tamid Mide Shana Bishana Ki Im Kain Halo Halu Lahabiam Ki Lo Haita Od Idiat Chataim Bimakribim Bekita Haram Pa'am Echat Abal Yesh Sham Hazakarat Hachataim Shana Bishana Ki Dam Haparim Wehashirim Lo Yukal Lehasir Chataim. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices that they offered year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O Elohim. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein that are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the that will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering has he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahuwah. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Hebrews chapter 13. Christian separation and worship. Verse 10, Yod. Verse 11, Yod Aleph. Verse 12, Yod Beit. Yesh lanu mizbeach asher ein lehem rishut lim sharate hamishkan le'akol me'alayu. Ki habhemot asher huba daman bakodesh lekaparat hachet al yede hakohen hagadol guyotehen nisrfu mechutz la machane ba abor zot gam yeshua unah mechutz la machane. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Yeshua Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The believer priest's sacrifice. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Elohim continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Kaburula Kalu, Kaburula Dimtu, Kaburula Chailu, Kaburula Ketamawi, Chaile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos.
Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks. The mic was off for a moment. But yes, we have fulfilled right here for this Shabbat Vayikra. Give thanks, co-laborers right there. The mic was off for a moment. But here's an update. We have now transitioned according to the world timekeeping, you know, from like what would have been 2 o'clock here to 3 o'clock. And we also notice here on the board, we still have the time, right? So it still says 56 or so minutes. So we know certain ones, you know, in a sense, make a sacrifice on another level, but still it is, can be qualified according to the principle. And they call in and their phone service, T-Mobile or Metro PC or some of the other companies, because of how they do their business, they charge a penny a minute to call into chat lines or the podcast, like the blog talk. But we don't get any of that penny per minute just to, you know, for transparency, but that's because of the particular phone service. In fact, even for us, we have T-Mobile and calling into this and other services, we charge a penny a minute. But if ones want to kind of drop off for a moment, we'll try to give ones a kind of heads up as we get closer to what would be like the third, you know, the third Iowa. But here, in fulfilling this, Handbook of the Priest, Introduction to the Handbook of the Priest. There's 16 questions. I'd like to share some of the 16 questions, my Shabbat table talk, and then zoom in on some points and principles. We've been into this meditation on sacrifice, like why? Why? 2 questions. Well, why Leviticus? Why does Leviticus kind of not pop up, but so to speak, it's like the heart of the Torah, right? And also, why sacrifices? And that brought it to a reasoning of, well, according to the scripture and the science of the Bible, where does the science equals knowledge? What we can know by studying the scripture, where does it start? It starts with Cain and Abel, the first kind of mention of sacrifice. Another question comes up, well, how do they know what to do? One did that which was respected, accepted, and one did that which was not respected and accepted. And that led to the first murder, and thus the revelation of the first murderer, right? You know, the Cain and Abel incident. So from there, we see this pattern. But then as we study, even as Matthew says, you know, even seek secular, you know, like other knowledge, right, outside of, you know, the square, you know, or the cipher right here, you know, just to balance the equation, and seeing other cultures, you know, other ancient peoples and what has been gathered from archaeology that we can, you know, discern and get a good understanding. So like ancient peoples, this is part of ancient people's customs. Many of us today, you know, as Rastafari, you know, are either vegan, vegetarian, Aita, Aitalist,
you know, or at least will make scant use of animal flesh, you know, and if we do, according to the precepts outlined in His Majesty's glory, right here, here, here. So therefore, the whole debtors idea, you know, we're not really into this. And I must admit that even going through the Torah readings and feedings and Shana, like the year, you know, in season and out of season, initially it took some kind of getting used to, but it was adjustment, like think different. You know, think different is like when he says, like, to return to me, or metanoia in the New Testament sense, repent. By thinking different, or looking at the same evidence, but seeing it from a different way. In other words, not half original, you know, in the sense of, yes, I'm black, and the Ethiopian Israelite connection, and we know about the whitewash, but we still are viewing it from the way that somebody else views the basic information here. So that's why I asked these questions about what is sacrifice. Why does it seem like many ancient people sacrifice? You know, some sacrifice things like, you know, we have here, you know, certain type of animals or certain offerings, so forth and so on. Others went to the point of even so-called human sacrifice, which is a interesting note right here, because ones might say that, well, the connection of Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christ, Robeno, and what we're talking about in the fulfillment, that's a good question as well. But before we get into those questions, some basics here, right? Some basics here, and the first basic here we'd like to share is these 16 or so questions, right? 16 basic questions. And this is from Sabbath Table Talk. We call this the H4C, right? Or the Q4C, sleeker, Q. Questions for the C. It should be K if we go that way. Chaverim. Usually spelled as C-H-A-V-E-R-I-M, but more correctly, K-H-A-D-E-R-I-M. But here, for this Shabbat study. Here's the study part. Yes, sir.
Shalom, Chaverim, shalom. Yes. Sabbatical table talk, you know, sabbatical Seder chat. Have a chat here on this 24th sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Here. So here we have Vayikra, Wa and Yikra, and he called, also known as Vayikra. So here we're at Leviticus, beginning the third book of Moshe, Hebrew book that's known as, and he called, Sefer Vayikra, Sefer, book, and he called. Here, the handbook of the priest, Leviticus. So let's go through some basic questions. We did this a few times before. Hopefully this can become even more of a regular thing. You know, a regular thing right here. So ones who are the hearers, you know, giving ear to hear, as we listen to the Aliyot and go over sabbatical study, we can focus, pick up on the content. What is this? The manahu. What is this? What is it? So here, some of the basic questions, basic Q&As, right? Some of the Q&As right here. Because this is very, very important. Because remember, they say that this is like the Old Testament is the shadow, and the New Testament, the Brit Chadasha, is the substance. So if this is true, and if those Yehudim, who believed and had faith in the Nazarene, Yeshua HaNotri, if their testimony in the Brit Chadasha is true, and they were Yehudi, like Hawariya Paulos, Apostle Paul, Rab Shaul, Rabbi Saul, and others, and what they said concerning the Old Testament being a shadow, and the New Testament, the Brit HaYishana, being a kind of the shadow, and here in the New Covenant we get the substance. What about these sacrifices, the types of sacrifices? First of all, there are five basic categories of sacrifices. But here, firstly, foremostly, let's get into some of the Q, right? The Q for A, you know what I mean? Some of the basic questions, you know? You know, the Q for A. No. Slicha. So, nah. Q for C. That's a Q for A. Q&A, questions and answers, yes. But the Q, the questions, for C, for the Chaverim, right? Using that old spelling of Chaverim with the C. K would be more correctly, the Q for K, but not to get it too confused. It lay. Here. Let's ride up right here. Some of the Q for C, the questions for the Chaverim. right here, here, here. So here we got 16 questions right here, 16 basic questions. We call these general questions. So three categories of education: general education, special education, higher education. Let's get a good groundation right here and give thanks to Hebrew for Christians as well for the overview and the perspective, right? So here. One, what other names are common for the book of Leviticus? So there's some other names for this third book of Moshe, Hebrew book, third book of the Pentateuch, here, the book of Leviticus. First question, what other names, what other shemot, in the Hebrew shemot, names, in the Amharic we have simoch, what other names are common for the book of Leviticus, for the Sefer Vayikra? That's the Hebrew there, but what other names? That's the first question. Second, what does the word korban, what is the word korban? Here we see it pointed as korban. What does the word korban, right? Korban. What does the word korban mean? Very key term, korban. You know that drink, right, out there in the world called korban, and the name korban. Well, here is the Hebrew root of the korban. What does the Hebrew word korban mean, chaverim? Third question here. What kind of animals could be, emphasizing the could be, remember the key word in Leviticus, if, right? If, that means it's a conditional, if. So what kinds of animals could be offered at HaMishkan, at the sanctuary, at the tabernacle? What kind of animals could be offered at the Mishkan? Fourthly, what was forbidden to be offered? What was forbidden, or in that Germanic, right, of the black German princes, verboten? What was verboten? What was forbidden to be offered with grain offering, with the mincha? The mincha, also called the mincha offering, the grain offering, the bloodless offering. What was forbidden to be offered with grain offerings? Fifth question, what additional ingredient was required, requirement? What additional ingredient was required to be added to all offerings? And lamazeh, why this? Why? Lama, why? What additional ingredient was required to be added to all offerings? And why? Sixth question, what is an ola? What is an ola offering? What is an ola offering? What is an ola offering? Seventh question, what is a mincha or minka offering? What is a mincha, right? The mincha. What is the minka offering? Eighth question, what is special about a peace, the peace offering? What is special about the shelamim, chaberim? What is special about the shelamim, the peace offerings? Ninth question, what part of an animal sacrifice always belongs to Ha Elohim, to Ha'ilehim? What part of an animal sacrifice always belongs to Ha'ilehim, to Hashem? Tenth question, what was done with the blood Hadam, the Dam? What was done with Hadam, the blood of the sacrifice animals, the sacrifice chayim, lives, or the living creatures? What was done with hadam, with the dam, the blood, the dam, Hebraically speaking, the dam of the sacrifice animals? 11th question, what two animal products are we forbidden to eat? What two animal products, right, according to HaTorah, are we, I and I, forbidden to eat? Now, some may choose to be vegan, vegetarian, but studying it here to get a context, right, of the will and the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. 11th question, what two animal products are we forbidden to eat? Verboten, forbidden to eat. 12th question, who must bring a sin offering or a chatat? Chatat. Who must bring a chatat? The chatat, the sin, the lack, the forfeiture, falling short, missing the mark, the ukkari. Who must bring a chatat, a sin offering, a lack offering? 13th question, can grain be given as a chatat? Can grain be given as a chatat, a sin, a lack, a ukkari offering? Can grain be given, according to HaTorah, and here, third book of Moshe, Hebrew book, known as Vayikra, Leviticus, can grain be given as a chatat, a sin offering, a ukkari offering? 14th question, when an animal was to be sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head? When an animal was to be sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head, on the head of that animal that was to be sacrificed? 15th question, what is distinctive about a guilt offering, what's known as the Asham offering? What is distinctive about the Asham offering, the guilt offering? What is distinctive about the Asham offering? And the 16th question right here. What percentage of the 613 Torot laws, directions, instructions, 613 laws of HaTorah, of the direction, instruction, are given in the Sefer Vayikra, in the Sefer, and he called in the book of Leviticus, in the handbook of the priests? What percentage of the 613 laws or Torot, direction instructions of HaTorah, the direction instruction, are given in the book of Leviticus, in the Sefer Vayikra? So here, basic questions right here, give ear. What other names are common for the book of Leviticus? What does the Hebrew word korban mean, chaverim? What kinds of animals could be offered at HaMishkan, at the tabernacle, the sanctuary? What was forbidden to be offered with the grain offerings, the mincha offering? What additional ingredient was required to be added to all offering, all korbanot, and why? What is an olah offering? What is an olah offering? What is a mincha offering? What is special about shelamim, peace offerings? What part of an animal sacrifice always belongs to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem? What was done with hadam, the blood of the sacrifice animals, the sacrifice chayim, living creatures? What two animal products are we forbidden to eat? Who must bring a chatat, the fukri, the ukkari, the sin, the lack offering? Who must bring a chatat? Can grain be given as a chatat, as a sin, as a ukkari, as a lack offering? Can grain be given as a chatat? When an animal was to be sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head? Why were both hands placed on the head of the sacrifice animal? What is distinctive about the Asham, an Asham offering? What is distinctive about a guilt offering? What percentage of the 613 Torot of HaTorah, what percentage of the 613 laws of the Torah, the law, are given in the book of Leviticus? Hear, hear, hear. 16 basic questions. How many of them can you answer? Chabarim, Chabarim. Shalom, Chabarim.
Yes, 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 yes.
So much
yes.
love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends. When I say more, you say fire. More
fire.
King Selassie is the Almighty I. I mean, big bad sound like justice. This is Sizzla Kalonja passing through.
So much love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends.
Yes, yes, yes. So we have the 16 questions for the Shabbat, Wayikra, for Sendet. Tarato, he having call, Sabbath, he having call. So here, picking up with the first reading and feeding, the manna here, in third book of Moses, Leviticus. Before we get into the answer to the 16 questions, I'd like to remind ones of the Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant, Adis Kidan reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Now, we define Hebrew and Hebrews as referring not so much to the ethnicity, but to the spirituality. We've gone into details, but just to put that into the context, you know, if ones and ones seek to reason or whatnot, we can reason on that. But Hebrew referring to the spirituality, right, more than the ethnicity. But those who are called to be the Hebrews are the descendants of the Hebrew Trinity, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So here in the Epistle to the Hebrews, Chapter 13, just to go over these verses here, verses 10 to 16, to put it in the context for us in the new covenant with a new name, right? You know, the Brit Rastafari, the new name. So here it says, this chapter, the fourth section here, using the Scofield Study Bible as a point of reference, it says Christian or Christian, what they were called Christians, they were Nazarene. So I have the new name, Rastafari, separation and worship. So here in verse 10, it says, we have an altar. Oh, before we even go on right here, we've been taking a couple of notes as we listen to the audios and you know, just meditating on this iteration here, seeking to loose the seals, because there's been seals that we haven't fully comprehended, but are comprehending more so in something which partially will comprehend, like chewing, you know, here getting good digestion, you know, mawahad, tawahido, the metaphysical correspondences. So the OT to the new T to the NT, Old Testament to New Testament to Old Testament, some correspondences. For example, according to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and even elsewhere, we find it that the cross, what we have is the cross, right, in the meskel, in the New Covenant sense, being linked with the altar, the brazen altar, the brazen cross, you know, the cross and who was put upon there, his feet as brass. So we just point that out right there, and let's reason on the possible New Testament, since it is said that the Old Testament is the shadow and the New Testament is the full substance. Well, a shadow is only cast by an object or a person by standing in light. Right, so looking at that light of Yeshua HaMashiach right here, you have the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 10. And this is the section called Christian or Messiahite or the Nazarene or I and I, the new name, separation and worship. Verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, the Lika Kahinat, for sin, for chatiat, for lack, are burnt without the camp. Wherefore, Yeshua, Jesus, Ayus, also, that he might sanctify Ha'am, the people, his vu, with his own blood, his own dam. In the Hebrew, dam is blood, in the Amharic is dem, right? So his own dam. He suffered without the gate. Verse 13, let us, or make I and I, go forward, therefore, to him without the camp, outside the camp,
bearing his reproach. Verse 14, for here have I and I, no continuing city, no itinuing city, but we, I and I, seek one to come. Another important correspondence here is city. Metaphysically is like a city. What is a city? Many people, different peoples coming together. Every city has its own vibe, its own spirit. So city, metaphysically, is consciousness, like consciousness or aggregation of consciousness. That's why we say that Jerusalem is not just the place over there, over here, or it's the people. It's like the soul of the people, that consciousness. Well, Jerusalem for I and I, right? Looking at it spiritually in the new covenant sense. So think about that verse in that light. For here we have no continuing, itinuant city, right? Even the cities that we're in of the Gentiles. It's like Egypt. We have to come out, right, to do it I and I way. When we do it I and I way, it is an offense, an abomination to the Babylonians, as their way is an abomination to I and I. But we seek one to come. So here's the fifth section. It says the believer priest, the believer. Now, in Amharic, we have Ma'amen from the Amenet, or Amanyoch from the Amenet. Amenet means to admit as true. It means that when you admit as true, in the true sense of believe or believe, you don't really know, or you have some knowledge, but you admitting something as true based on whatever you know or whatever you accept to be true. So just to bring out that sense right there, right, the believer, right, priests. So those who believe, who admit as true in Yeshua HaMashiach, as the Bein Elohim Chaim, as the Son of the Living Power, this right of that priest function in the New Covenant sense, as was with the sons of Aharon. That's why it says in John's Gospel, does he give those who have faith in his name, right, in Shemo, in Simu, in his name, does he give that right to become the sons, right, those sons of Elohim, B'nai Elohim. So that connection with the Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, I and I, in the New Covenant sense, the believer priest sacrifice. So in the New Covenant sense, the Berit Chadasha sense, the Adis Kidan sense, the fulfillment sense, the believer priest sacrifice, the Amanya Kahin sacrifice, verse 15 and verse 16. It says, by him, therefore, let us, or make I and I offer. Well, remember the word offer, like to present, to draw near, to bring something near. Offer the sacrifice, the zebach, the sacrifice of praise, of Isaac. The sacrifice of what? The sacrifice of Isaac to Ha Elohim, to Ha'ilahim, to the power, to the source, the true good, the true God, continually, itinually. So our sacrifice, our offering in the New Covenant sense, and we see this fulfilled in Rastafari, is a sacrifice of Isis to Ha'ilahim continually, itinually. That is the fruit lips, the fruit of I and I lips, word, sound, power, giving thanks, Yangfu Isis to Shemo, to his name, as it said in Psalm 75, where it says, Karov Shemeka, Karov, like near Shemeka, that that eye's name, Karov, and Karov from Karav and the Korban, what is offered, what is brought near, Makrev, what is brought near. So here, once again, so we can see in the fulfillment. Now, some might say, oh, well, that's not the Old Testament or the Tanakh, and that's that New Testament, that's Greek, that's somebody else. You obviously, you haven't studied it, right, because they barely understood their own thing, much less to have this sort of understanding of our thing. Right, but here what we have is the epistle to the Hebrews, my Paul and the other apostles, as we have, I think, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15 or chapter 16, when they all were gathered together in Jerusalem. That was at the time the disciples still went into the Hekal, the temple. And you can see that in Hebrews, they're looking around the temple. They're looking around the court. And they're remembering and seeing the correspondences of what has just happened and the holy place. Get into more details on that. But here again, by him, therefore, make I and I offer the sacrifice of praise of Isis to Exiavi, to sustain the Ha'ilahim, the power, continually, itinually. That is the fruit of lips, the fruit of I and I lips, giving thanks. Niskana, Isis, Torah, hallelujah, to Shemo, to his name. Verse 16. But to do good, the heartbeat, do good, Rastafari revelation, and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, the true good, the true God, is well pleased. A little point and note right here, when it says communicate, right, when it says communicate, to put this into its proper context, that meant to ones and ones gave to different communities because of the affliction of the fellow saints. You know, like I and I giving to Rastafari and supporting one another and different communities. So that's what it meant by communicate. It wasn't like just chat, so to speak, even though there was communication on that level. But this word communicate, it meant to give, like that free will giving, you know. That's what it means by communicate, to do good and to communicate. For more on that, Romans chapter 12, verse 13 brings that up and out even more right there. So it says, for with such sacrifices. So here's pointing out the twofold sacrifices, as there are two kinds of sacrifices, right? The two main kinds, if you look at it, as voluntary and obligatory. But there's two kinds of sacrifice in a twofold way. It's the eyes, the praises, I mean, the words by thy mouth, and the meditation, the intent of the heart, hartika, right? Keeping the Levitical and hartika. And then it's the giving, the doing good by giving. Because it's interesting, in the Hebrew, the word for charity, tzedakah, comes from tzedek. And tzedek we have as righteous and just. Tzedek as Malachiah tzedek or Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of justice. But tzedakah is charity. So it also implies a sense of love, that doing justice, right, and giving charity hebraically in the context of the HD, the Hebrew definition, is equivalent, right, with love or righteous love, right? So giving righteously is like righteous love, righteous charity. Charity equals love, basically. You know, I say charity equals love, the translator, you know, in the translation in the Bible, the word love sometimes is covered over in the New Testament sense by the word charity. But when we understand it clearly in the 1611 days, it made sense. When they spoke about charity, they spoke about a kind of a righteous love, a righteous giving, that sense of charity. Well, I guess it lost its meaning. So people say, you know, I don't want no charity. I guess because when it lost its meaning, Babylon, when words were confused. So here, let's just pause on that for a moment, brothers and sisters right here, and let's get into some of these questions right here, the 16 basic questions. Yes,
So much love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends. When I say more, you say fire. More fire.
King Selassie, the Almighty, I mean, big bad sound like justice. This is Sizzla Kalonja passing through.
So much love to all my friends. Much love to all my friends. Much love to all my friends. Much love to all my friends.
Another interesting note as well in the Akalilu, the brother's name Akalilu, Ethiopian academic and a scholar. He Chan, I get his name. But there's a book, Amharic English book. Him and somebody named Mosbach. Don't recall their fuller names right now, but in his book, I think he wrote one originally in Ethiopia, then one of the Gentile scholars must have, like, worked with him to do it, like, I guess he did in Amharic and thing, and then they did it in English. Anyway, in this dictionary of Amharic terms, it was interesting to note that Issat, you know, Issat is fire in the Amharic, Aish is fire in the Asian, and Isha. Interesting that we have Isha, which is woman, but in a liturgical sense, it's one of the words for offering by fire. So Ish is man, but Aish is fire. Ish, man, higher man, and Isha, higher woman. But then we have Aish, fire, and Aisha, which is very similar to Isha, which is fire, but that's fire used like for the offering. But fire, in the Amharic dictionary, one of the old, I call it during the imperial Zemen, the Zemen and Negus and Neges, the time of the King of Kings and his time, but he's Shu, who's the blessed and only potentate, only sovereign, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering line of the tribe of Judah, that in his dictionary,
it says Isad is divine intelligence. It basically brought out the, we could say, the two senses of the Afro-Semitic and Hebraic and Amharic, the natural sense, the physical sense, Isad Taya, fire, fire, right? And then Isad in its metaphorical, allegorical, right? You say the spiritual, you know, the metaphysical application as divine intelligence, as divine intelligence. So just note that right there, right? So the holy fire, basically, in that application would have the divine intelligence. So here to 16 questions, 16 questions. Basic question number one, what other names are common for the book of Leviticus? Answer, it's known as the book of sacrifices. It's also known as the law of the Kohanim. Kohanim in the Hebrew is the priest, right? Kohanim, the priest, right? And so the laws or the handbook, also referred to as the handbook of the priest. The laws are Torot. So in Hebrew, the plural sense of Torah or Torahs, Torah means direction, instruction, euphemistically translated as law, but directly as law is instruction in HaTorah, in the Torah, in the direction instructions, Jah's direction instructions, there are various Torot, directions, instructions for this, direction, instructions for that. So the Torot, the laws of HaKohanim, the priests. And it's also known as the Sefer, or book, right? Accounting in a sense, Sefer, right? There's a written tradition level of it and the oral tradition, but here to the written tradition, the Sefer Vayikra, the cipher, the book, and he called Vayikra. Second question, what does the word Korban mean? Now, in the first part of the sabbatical study for this Shabbat Straw, we had actually went into the word Korban because we shared the prayer of oblation, from the Kedase, right, of His Majesty, the True Church and Professing Church, the Ethiopian Tewahedo Church. But Korban, it is a general word, generally speaking, for offering or gift. It comes from the root karov or karov, right, which means to come near. Now, that's interesting in Psalm 75 here in the season. According to the royal order, we have Psalm 75 for the Shabbat day. And in that psalm, it says, karov shemeka, that your name is near. And how do we give praise in New Covenant sense? To his name, to Shemo, Isis, Rastafari, I. So here the word, the general word korban means offering or that which is brought near. The context of it is important. The context is that which is brought near to the altar, because one would bring their offering near or prepare it, and then the priests actually would put it on the altar. The Levites would assist with the preparation, and the priest would actually officiate directly in the services. Now, recall that before the molten calf, all of the firstborn sons, the chief sons of Israel, this was their right. As it was Abraham offered and his son Yitzhak offered, didn't have to go through any priesthood, that Jacob offered. But because the sons of Israel, the Israelites, had come into covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, and so quickly had turned aside to the molten calf, they were brought out of Kemet, out of Mitzrayim, but there's a lot of Mitzrayim in them. A likeness of it is many of us who may have grown up as Christian or with some Christian or religious affiliation, and then seeing this, John's direction instruction in Yahweh is challenging because of how we have been, you know, led to believe or what we had, you know, accepted to be true or just heard in the hearsay, heresy. But the direct sense of the Korban is that which is brought near to the altar. Interesting that the altar is brazen and the feet of HaMoshiach, according to Revelation, right? The unveiling is also brazen. When we look at the tabernacle, it's also the temple of man. As you might have seen some word pics and word arts where they will show you either a kind of a likeness of Christ or a man superimposed over the sanctuary or the temple. And when you properly position it, you'll see that the brazen altar would correspond to where the brazen feet of the Moshiach would be on that cross tree. So this is interesting that we have this. We can point to these scientific points of view from a Hebrew science. That's a Hebrew knowledge. So translating it and understanding in the Old Testament, it's no wonder that those who revealed it in the New Covenant with Revelation, well, actually, Revelation is a revelation of Elohim Ha'av. God the Father gave it to Elohim HaBein, the Son, and he sent and signified by his Melach, his angel, to his servant Yohanan to reveal to those who have faith in him. So those who have faith in him would also know the pattern and recognize the pattern. So is the altar, right, the cross, or should we say, would that be like the feet of Christ? And then we have to kind of build on that because we have to understand how the feet, even the feet has like a sign, symbol, language, the ancient, and we can say primitive and first peoples. You know what I mean? The feet, that subjection, for example, washing of Yeshua's feet, another example. But the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary has some good initial points of reference. Third question, what kinds of animals could be offered at the Mishkan? The Mishkan is the sanctuary, literally the dwelling place, Mishkan, Mishkan. So what kind of animals could be offered? Another key point is there's no animal in the Bible. I know that sounds crazy, right? Well, let me clarify, because if I don't clarify, you'll definitely get me, because you can find some Bible out there that probably has animal in the translation, Latter-day translation. But there's no animal in the King James Version. Let me put it like that. Now I'm right and accurate. There's no animal. Now, I'm not saying things you call animal, but we don't find the word animal in the KJV. And so we have creature and living creature. When we look at the Hebrew word for animal, the general word for animal is chayim, chayim, chay, chay, like Rastafari, Rastafari chay, right? Rastafari, Rastafari chay. The people of Rastafari live chay, chay. Some say chai, but really the CH is a ch, chay. So chayim means lives. It's like when ones and ones, some who are Judaic or, you know, some kind of a Jew or not, they might toast one another and say l'chaim, l'chaim. L'chaim is like to life, like to life. The literal sense is to lives, right? Lives, liberty, because even in the sense that one person's life has many lives within it. So it's that plural, that plurality, but that singularity of the plurality, like the true Elohim himself. But here, I'd like to share that. Is man an animal? That's a question. Hebraically speaking, man is an animal, or man has this animal aspect. I put that here because in understanding the symbols of the animal types can also bring out the physical and the metaphysical, how ancient people use symbols, substitution, right? You know, you are like this. Why did I say you're like that? Why can't I just tell you what you are? Because maybe that is, I don't know how to describe that you understand, so I have to describe it according to something that you do understand, you know? So here, what kinds of animals or living creatures could be offered at the Mishkan, at the tabernacle? Defect-free cattle, defect-free. Now, defect-free, that's a modern way of bringing out the Hebrew term tamim. In the Hebrew sense, it's in the plural, tamim. The word tam means complete, nothing lacking, nothing over. In other words, the sense is if this creature we have faith was created like this, and don't offer one that has less or have more, offer one that's according to that pattern. So that's the sense of defect-free, you know, without any mum. Mum is the Hebrew word like a part of defect. So an animal that has one less leg or one extra leg or anything like that. Defect-free cattle, oxen, a bull or cow, sheep, a ram or an ewe, or goats, a buck or a doe. The poor could offer turtle doves and pigeons. So here, what we have, the defect-free cattle, oxen, so a male or a female, a bull is the male, and the cow or the heifer is the female. Now, what's interesting about this is that when we study the Ethiopic Book of Enoch, the older version, right? The first version, the version that's from the older goods, right? In the older version of Enoch, of Hanukkah, right? Like in Hanukkah, Hanukkah, which means to be initiated, right? In Enoch, we find that the oldest version, it doesn't even state the names. It only speaks as prophecy from Enoch's time in animal types. So Adam is considered like to be like, I think, a bull, a white bull, you know, and Abel, I think, was a red bull, right? And Cain was a black bull, and Hawa was, or Eve, Zoe, Eve was a heifer, like a white cow. And then it goes through even nations. So in the first original version, like ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet, other ancient cultures, they use the natural type. You know, they use typology where they use animals. So that revelation of Enoch in its original form, the later versions of it, even in Amharic, it labels and identifies who's who. It's almost like first a prophecy was given. There shall be a great bull. This black bull and this red bull will fight. So before anybody really knew, that's how it was prophesied, and then ones were able to then see the typology. So I'm just pointing this out because this is the key to this sacrificial type, that there was an ancient types, certain animals, as animals were animals wherever they were, usually the same type of animals, people identified with certain attributes. Even today, black man, sometimes certain ways for good and not so good, is likened to a bull. You know what I mean? Or we liken one to a lower form of animal, to a dog, you know, a male dog or a female dog. But here we have the male and the female type, oxen, bull, and cow. Sheep, a ram, the male, the ewe, the female. Goats, right? A buck, right? A buck, a male, or a doe, right? A female. But it states here that the poor, so ones who are poor, who didn't have livestock, for them to get a cow to go to make an offering, it might cost them, God knows how many shekels. You know what I mean? They would not be able. And it could be just a peace offering, any kind of offering. Much as if they had to, they really had to now obligatory make an offering, right? And see, this emphasis on sacrifices, let this be known. It's not John saying this is what I want. But he's saying, since y'all seem to be stuck on this sacrificing thing, before you even waited for Moses to come back, you already started to do this shite that you was doing down in the valley, down in denial. You know, you gave me your word and everything. But Moshe here is pleading. He's sitting in my face, not eating or drinking for 40 days and 40 nights like my son will do. Wow. All right. I will forgive you. But if you will come into this covenant, these are the terms. So the sacrifice was given for the benefit of Yisrael. Right, was given for the benefit of Yisrael because they were stuck on these types that they had learned before. But the question still is, where did it originate from? It seems as though this is something that man universally came up with. But after a while, they lost the true sense of it or went off. So here, fourth question here, what was forbidden to be offered with grain offering? Now, the grain offering, once again, the grain offering is called the mincha, the mincha. And the grain offering is often mistranslated or misunderstood in its 1611 translation, you know, because, you know, Jacob looks out for Jacob, you know, King Jacobus, you know, or the King James Version, right? So people say, oh, they mistranslated. Well, no, back in the days, meat. Brother, you got anything, you got any meat? It could be you could bring me bread and beans or something. That would be considered meat, right? Now, if I specifically say give me some flesh, you know, that's the debtors right there. So the meal offering was a bloodless offering. The meal offering, right, was a grain offering. Just to put this into context, what is called the meat offering, the meal offering. So what was forbidden to be offered with the mincha, the grain offerings, or the meal offering? Leaven. Leaven or chametz, or yeast. Basically, you could call it yeast. Yeast was forbidden, and davash, right, or dabash in more archaic pointing is honey. Modern Hebrew, davash is honey. So what was forbidden? What was forbidden with the grain offering? yeast, right, and honey, or leaven and honey chametz with the vash, since both induce fermentation. Both of these induce, when you put yeast or leaven in something, yeah, it puffs it up and all of that, you know, and nice bread to eat in the right times, you know, but it also causes the bread to, you know, the grain to decay. And decay or fermentation is a sign of decay and death. So the ancient people understood these things basically. You know, bread was around for a while. You said, man, that bread been here for, it probably doesn't have any yeast or it would be flat. You know what I mean? So they understood that fermentation. Fermentation symbolizes my death and decay. So with the mincha, with the meal offering or the grain offering, there was no leaven or yeast or honey, since both of them induces fermentation, and fermentation leads to and is a sign of decay and death. All right? Now, this doesn't mean that was in the extreme. They partook of it in other ways, but at certain times, and for the offering here, it was not, you know, the time and the season. Here, speaking about the time and the season, for ones who still might be listening, right, we got seven minutes before we hopefully get a little bit more here, because there's a few more basic points. And hopefully ones go over these things, hopefully the tools, the PDFs, you know, hard copies, once in order, that's available at LOJS.org, but some free downloadables so one can study up. You know, we can zoom in on certain particular areas. We're just going over this so that this can be a mana, you know, a mana ready to eat, you know, a meal ready to eat, you know, proverbially speaking. So here we got like six minutes to call in. We will have this grace period right here. I guess this spring forward worked out. So far, so good. We give thanks and praise. The fifth question, what additional ingredient was required to be added to all offerings and why? What additional ingredient, right? What additional ingredient? The answer here is melach, or chow in Amharic, or in the, chow in Amharic, melach, salt. Salt is this additional ingredient that was required to be added to all offerings. And why? We're not talking about that table salt, you know, that kind of table salt, that Babylonian kind of rock crystals. No, we're talking about back in the days, there used to be these videos in Ethiopia where show those in Ethiopia, you know, back in those days where Ethiopia, that hidden empire was revealing, you know, in the times of his matching, his days and times, the only blessed, the potentate, right? It would have Ethiopians going to the highlands or certain places, you know, it was high up, and they'd be breaking this thick white, you know, very alabaster shining, you know, glistening white rock, right? They'll be breaking it down, loading it up on donkeys or carrying it down the sides. And they were saying, the narrator was saying, this was a great currency. And that was like that Himalaya salt. You know, we're talking about the nutrient-rich salt, the real salt, the salt the way they were created, the tamim salt. Right, not the mum salt, right? The mum on that other salt. But so salt was added. Why? Why was salt, melach, or chow, added? Because it preserved the offering and prevented rotting and rottening, right? Decay, remember, decay is symbolized as death, right? Fermentation, decay, and death. And so the melach, the salt, was added to all the offering. That's why I said season with salt. And so the idea is season with salt. So we see it first in the five cycle, in the tabernacle, in the basic pattern, and then also understanding how ones preserve things by adding some salt, sometimes preserve certain things, you know, whether it was grains, as we have here in the grain offering, right, or whether it was other, you know, edible items, right, according to what Torah is bringing forward. So here, to the sixth question, what is an olah offering? What's an olah offering? An olah offering, olah. Now, olah, right? Olah comes from Allah. Allah means to be above, to go up. Allah, like to ascend. Allah, right? Not Allah. Allah in the Hebrew means to swear, right, with imprecations upon oneself. But what we have Instead, we have the Allah and we have Allah. So this is the ascension offering or the burnt, the whole burnt offering. Or more directly, it is a male. In other words, the animal must be a male, right? And it's the whole burnt offering, also referred to as the Holocaust offering. In the Latin Bibles, they call it the Holocaust. The burnt offering is the Holocaust offering because from the Latin, that means like to be completely consumed, right? The Holocaust offering. So what is the Olah? It's an ascending offering. In other words, it's a fire, Asha, fire offering of a sweet savor. That means the burning of it, right, would raise up the smoke of it and the smell of it, right, the smell of it, right? What's interesting is this, is that even if one don't eat deaders, sometimes you smell something, if you're not too pharisaical or whatnot like that, you know, you'd be like, wow, it smells like that's some kosher food that smells good. But the sense of the sweet savor is this is supposed to be a sweet savor to Hailahim, right? The whole burnt offering. So the Olah is a whole burnt offering, a male whole burnt offering. So the animal be a male, and the sense of it is it ascends as the smoke ascends, the fire and the smoke ascends, and the scent, you know, the sweet scent of what is being burnt, right, in this offering here. The seventh question is, what is a mincha? A mincha or the mincha offering? The mincha offering is an unleavened grain offering. So the offering that's called the meat offering is actually a meal offering. It's bloodless and it's unleavened. No yeast added to the grain, just the grain, right? An unleavened grain offering that could be mixed, with five different kinds of oils and spices. With five different kinds of oils and spices. Pardon me, but they were cooking right here, you know? But in the sense that we get to understand this, oh, we have 90 seconds, y'all, 90 seconds, just a heads up, 90 seconds, y'all, 90 seconds. So calling. Yes, I, Rastafari, just to remind ones and ones who might be listening on the Blog Talk live stream. 60 seconds, y'all. Yes, I.
Call in to hear the full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. 515-602-9761 to hear the full now. Call in. 515-602-9761. Call in. 515-602-9761.
Yes, I. Catch, you know, definitely check out the replay. Yes, I, and grab pen and paper as well, because, you know, I was meditating on a lot of this, but now by writing it down, can sort it better. So the Mincha offering is unleavened grain offering that could be mixed with five different kinds of oil and spices. A portion of the grain was burnt on HaMizbeach, on the altar, Meseuia, and the rest was donated to HaKohanim. The rest was donated to the priest, right? So this is also important to understand. So that made me start to think on, wait, we go over these measurements, but let's try to look at these measurements in a real way, because when these offerings are offered, right, there's sometimes a handful, speaking about like the grain offering, a handful that is taken, or memorial, Azkara, that is taken by the priest of what one is offering to Jehovah, the priest themselves, right? And also by extension, the Levites, they basically live off of these offerings, right? But a portion is taken, like a handful, right? A handful, and is put on the Mizbeach, right? And then the rest is given to the Kohanim, is given to the priest. So that made me now look at like some of these weights and measures. So we're going to get into some of the weights and measures, right, which also links with the currency. Remember, even the economy is regulated by the Torah teaching, by the shekel. And the shekel in Ethiopia is the bur, right? Another reason why we can say Judeo-Christian Ethiopia, right, was so progressive and prosperous in those days of the testimony of the covenant over the nearly 3,000 plus years, just looking at the overview, right? But here, let's get to the next question, the eighth question. What is special about a peace offering? There's an offering known as the peace offering. Remember, there's five basic categories of sacrifices or offering, five basic ones. Here, we're asking what is, you know, so special. What's special about a shalamim? Shalamim, from the root shalom, to make peace or to pay, right? The word peace and to pay is very much connected Hebraically. But what is so special about the shalamim, the peace offering, right? Hold. Okay, the grain offering was often given to the poor. That's the next thing about the mincha or the grain offering. The grain offering, because when we start to do the weights of how much it would be, according to both the weights and measures based on the Hebrew, and then in His Majesty's Bible, there is a page that have certain Hebraic words and terms, right, such as weights and measures terms and the approximate liters and, you know, meters and liters today. So it's very, very important. And those who want to discuss, like, our own economics, it's important for us to get the right, the whole weights and measures as well. But, yeah, so the grain offering was often given to the poor, often given to the poor. So what was so special about the shelamim, the peace offerings on them, harik, yeah, dechinnet, right, meswa'it. The dechinnet, like we say, dena, denanen, you know, dena, like I'm well, we're well. Dechna, dena, exiabia mesken, I'm well, exiabia be praised. Dechna also is at the root of medanit, the like salvation and savior. So the saving, the well-being. That's the sense of the shalamim, from shalom, shalom, the well-being. So everyone benefited from it. This was so, what was so special about the peace offerings. See, some of the sin offerings and the whole burn offerings, you know, those had to be completely consumed. Nobody benefited from that. The priest didn't get none of that. That had to just be done. It was just a burn, fire burn, you know, to burn out. Now, everyone benefited from the shelamim. For example, the blood and the fat that went to the mizbeach, to the altar, symbolically to Ha'elohim, to the power, right? The breast and the thigh, right, went to the priest. And this reminds me of what we hear, and just tell one, I said this, if it's crazy, I'm just going to take a little bit of ownership for this. When they say, oh, an arm and a leg, they're going to ask you an arm and a leg, right? Like that's going to be a big sacrifice. Then recognizing that the breast and the thigh went to HaKohanim, the breast and the thigh went to HaKohanim. You know what I mean? Yeah, no wonder, you know, some Negroes like the breast and the thigh, right? The breast and the thigh, but a lot of people like that. But anyway, here, the breast and the thigh benefited the priest, HaKohanim. Now, the hide and the flesh, the hide, the skin, right, and the, you know, the flesh went to the owner, went to the owner who gave the shalamim, the peace offering or the well-being offering, who shared them with his family and friends in a communal meal, right? So that one will go do their peace offering, make peace with, you could say, Ha'elohim and man. The priest will get a portion, right? Since we don't eat according to Torah, no fat, right? No trans fat or other fats, all that get burned, and no blood, because blood symbolizes and has a life in it. Everyone benefited from the shelamim, from the peace offering, right? This is why we have this audio here. Let's just share this right here, since we have a little bit of time just to get a basic understanding of this. And then as we go through Psalms, we'll seek to highlight, like David is, like, amazing, Dawid, King David. When it says a man after Jehovah's own heart, if you go to the psalm, it's like David is taking the literal type, the physical type, and he's projecting it into the new covenant. You know, even, you know, the lifting up my hands, you know, as the Aishan. You know what I mean? You know, yes, I. Yes, I. Right.
Find your peace offering approvable. God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day for coming in and your...
Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless your peace offering. Yes, I. So peace offerings was, we could say, a favorite, you know, amongst ones and ones. But now how David takes the types, and the question we have to ask about David is, well, who authorized David, being of the tribe of Judah, right, to take these types, even the basics of the Levitical types, and transfer them from the literal, right, into what we will call the metaphy cycle, the metaphysical, like, or the esoteric, right, or the new covenant sense, like this part.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
So nah, right, like the isense. Right, as the isense.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands
as the evening sacrifice. So the lifting up of my hands as, like, so I don't have an evening sacrifice, but may it be pleasing in your sight that my prayer be as the isense. Don't got no isense, but my prayer, my eyes is prayer, right? And the lifting of my hands as though I was lifting up a sacrifice right now to put on the altar. So who gave David that authorization? The Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Memphis Kedus, the Isle of Iris. This is why Jehovah testifies he's a man after his own heart, his mind. His mind were able to perceive that full of fullness, like the giving of praise, Isis, I and I sacrifice, and doing good, right, and communicating one to another. Yes? So here, the ninth question, what part of the animal sacrifice always belongs to Ha'elohim, to the power, to Xavier, to sustainer. What part, right? The fat, called in the Hebrew the chaleb, or some will say the chaleb, right? The chaleb, that's the fat. As Leviticus 3:11, 3:1:1 says, all the fat is Jehovah's. Basically is his, like it says in another psalm, do I eat these things? No, I don't eat these things. He basically consented to these things for the benefit of Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael's education, so we can grow from the place that our first father fell from, right? And we're speaking, of course, in the Torah context right here. So next question, 10th question. So that means Israel didn't deal with trans fat, was way ahead of its time, and no blood as well, right? So 10, right, the 10th question right here, right, is what was done. Actually, here in the Hebrew for Christian, they only say that the fat, but also the blood, right, of a sacrificial, you know, animal, and no blood for sacrifices, like, you know, that will be drained out and applied separately, and no blood for regular eating among those who ate debtors or flesh. But the 10th question here is what was done with Hadam? Hadam, man, dem, right? What was done with the dam or the dem of the sacrifice, living creatures, the sacrifice animals? What was done with it? It was sprinkled around HaMizbeach. It was sprinkled around the altar and sometimes applied to the horns of the altar. On the day of the atonement, Yom HaKippurim, blood or the dam, right, the dam was applied, the application, it was applied to the horns of the altar of Ishens. So this is interesting because usually the sacrifice to the altar, the brazen altar on the outside, this is why you, hopefully ones either have the pattern in their mind or go and look at the tabernacle pattern. Just Google like tabernacle pattern, tabernacle wilderness pattern to get to see what the pattern was. So we have the two altars, the one outside the church or the tent, right, the Ohel Moed, and the one that is inside. The one inside is the altar of Ishens, right? So my prayers, right, as the Ishens, Jehovah's. So here it was applied on the day of the atonement, Yom HaKippurim. It was applied to the horns of the altar of Ishens, or the golden, what's also known as the golden altar. It's made out of gold, Ishens. Right, so our praise and our prayers, we must recognize because of the gold nature, gold in the Hebrew commodities is divinity in manifestation,
Right, so on the iritical, allegorical level, gold is divinity and manifestation. So seeing that the altar in the church or in the tent, right, before the Ark of the veil of the Ark of the Covenant is the golden altar, and the Aishence symbolizes prayer and praise, prayer and praise. So the prayer and the praise and the divine aspect, the divinity, recognizing the divinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, of Melech HaOlam, of the King of the Universe, the Universal King, even the King of Kings. So it will be applied to the altar of Aishens, the horns of the altar of Aishens, and dashed or sprinkled up on upon the Kaporet. Now the Kaporet is the mercy seat. So you have to look at the tabernacle. That's what it says, see that you do all things according to the pattern. So even not doing these things in the outer sense, but to see the mechanics, the iritical mechanics in the inner sense, you should have a context of the tabernacle. Because first we have that sacrifice in the outer court, then the priest coming into the first room, right? And then, right, going beyond the veil to where the ark is. This is where Josh says that he will meet and speak above the mercy seat and between the two cherubim, the Kepraim, called the Kerubim, right? This is where he would communicate. So some of that was actually dashed right onto the Kaporet or the mercy seat seven times. So even the number seven, right, is very important, right, as we go through the divine mathematics, the Hebrew science here. But next question, what two animal products are we forbidden to eat? What two animal products? So most of the Israelites, I'll say that a good majority of them, based on some studies that have dug up in some places, it's been found that, right, the Israelites, right, were, and that's how they find where Israelites used to live when they dig up in certain places. They find that in the majority of cases, you find that, you know, there was animal flesh, but there was, mostly was kosher animals. And even other kind of animals, like the pig, was dealt with separately elsewhere, but they found a lot of, you could say, a lot of veganism in them. You know, there's a lot of the, when they looked in stool and other places, you know, they looked through it and breaking down the elements there, right? Because only scant times. I mean, it was not practical to be eating debtors. Even if people liked to, wanted to eat debtors, you had to be awfully rich and have a lot of cattle. And even then, you should moderate yourself. Otherwise, you would, you know, you couldn't satisfy at all if that was your satisfaction. So just to point that out right there, right, because one would think because it's being mentioned here in the sacrificial type that this means that they ate a lot of debtors, because you have to consider, you know, it wasn't like McDonald's and Burger King. And now they tell you that, well, a lot of it's not really chicken and not really beef anyway. Well, I mean, imagine how many animals have to be killed. How many animals go that fast? You know, this is why there's so many abominations, because of desire. So the tabernacle and the sacrifices, they regulated that based on one's own intent in the covenant. What two animal products are we forbidden to eat? The Torah states that we may not eat blood or fat. All right, blood or fat. These are the two that the covenant-keeping Israelites were not to eat. Question 12, who must bring a chatat or a sin, an akri, a lack offering? Anyone who sinned by oversight or without willful intent, in other words, accidentally. This is important right here to kind of overstand. It wasn't like, you know, a barbecue or nothing like that. No. One who sinned, right, it had to be by oversight, right? Like one did not know. He did not wist what it was. He want not, they bring that out in KJV. But basically, he did not know. He did not know without willful intent or accidentally, right? This one must bring a chatat, a sin, right, a sin offering. This is why when it speaks about when Dawid talks about his ukri, right, basically planning a murder, you know, against another, you could say, resident citizen of Israel. He wasn't an Israelite. Uriah wasn't an Israelite, but he was, no doubt, in that covered in faith. He believed in our God. He was fighting our wars. Boom. Dawid did what he did. But when he goes to Psalm 51, to really understand the heights of what David is saying, in the words, get this, in the words that he's giving. So he's giving his words, his prayer, his intent, words of his mouth, meditation of his heart, in place of something that he could not give, a offering. But he's using the offering types, right? Remember, man after Jehovah's own heart that bespeaks of it. This is why in the New Covenant sense, so many psalms can be pointed to for the fulfillment in Yeshua from the Old Covenant sense. But anyway, let's move forward right here. 13th question, can grain be given as a chatat? Chatat in the Hebrew, or the Amharic chatat, a sin, a lack offering, could grain be given? Yes, kan, aon, right? Yes, grain could be given. Though, here's the conditional, no oil or frankincense or aishin, frankincense, may be mixed with the unleavened fine flour. Now, this is the key right here. And just a little reasonment here in the grace period of this podcast, just to bring this out, right? Something that going over it, you begin to then put what you know true over here with what you know true over here. You see how, you know, it says precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. This kind of came together, nuff, nuff. Why does it say that for a grain offering, right, or one who is for a sin offering giving grain, right, one who's giving grain for a chatat offering, that yes, they can give grain, but no oil, which symbolizes anointing and the spirit, or frankincense, right, prayer or praise in that sense, and the sweetness, right, may be mixed with the unleavened, without yeast puffs things up, like fine flour. So in the New Covenant sense, to apply this, Dawid exemplifies this in Psalm Negus Dawid, put respect on the name, Negus Dawid, right? Melech Yisrael, right? Right? Dawid HaMelech, he exemplifies this, right? Because he could not give really any really offering for what he had done did, right? The adultery, right? And murder, right? Adultery and murder, right? Especially murder, not just killing, but intentional, willful killing, right, is punishable by death. But, right, the power of the anointing, yes, right, think about it in a New Covenant sense, the power of the anointing. If it wasn't for the grace or the anointing of Jah, there go I and I. It says, though no oil or frankincense. So this tells us about our even asking and beseeching when we are wrong in the spirit and the truth. Don't try to add the oil to it, you know, that claim, right? Don't try to, you know, the frankincense, like to sweeten it up, right, you know, right? But keep it to the basic, to the grain of the matter. Don't put no leaven in it. Don't puff it up either. Don't get puffed up. In spirit and in truth, then the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will always be acceptable before he who be, we be his divine majesty. Beshem Yeshua, name of Yeshua. So let's move on right here. We got 14, 15, 16, 14. When an animal, a living creature, was to be sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head? Now, brothers and sisters and brothers hearing this now, those who will hear this in the forwards, this here was an interesting revelation here. And, the placing of both hands. And let me see if I get my note right here. The placing of both hands. You know that hand sign? There's that hand sign. It's a priestly benediction hand sign. It looks like the two hands, but one hand looks like, who was that guy, Spock, in Star Trek? You know, the hand sign of blessing, of baraka, also the Hebrew shin. It's a Hebrew letter as well, right? And when you put the two hands together, right, when you put the two hands together, upwardly, you have the like a triangle in the midst. But when you put your both hands on top of an animal's head, you form this same symbol with the triangle, right, or the Trinity, right? Because you have to recognize that the offerings my what you got going on here with a hatat or, you know, any kind of an offering, right, is between Jah and man, who is made in his image and after his likeness. Therefore, man is a trinity. Man has spirit, soul, and a carbon organic structure called a body. But even on the body level, it extends beyond his physical body. It extends to his wealth, right? It extends to his health. It extends to his possessions, you know, because these are necessary, right, to this five-cycle life. So man was made in the image and after the likeness, right? In and through the chokmah, the wisdom, there's the mother right there, through the wisdom, right, of Elohim Ha'av. Man is a trinity. So in putting his hands on top of the head, right, you would have almost a trinity. You would have a trinity. So it's interesting, this trinity hand sign of his majesty. Let's explore this in the sense of what Hawari Apollos, the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, right, known as the great apostle to the Gentiles, you know, when he says in Romans, right, what our acceptable service, right, that we should be a living sacrifice, make our bodies, like our bodies to present, he says to present our bodies, present. So what do we present now in the new covenant? We present our bodies. Basically, iritically, we bridle, right, the animal, right, and even on the metaphysical level, we burn out, right, the animal natures, the untamed and the wild natures, right, of our nature, right? But in the new covenant sense, we present our bodies, right? And our offering is the praise, the Isis, right? You know, words of our mouth, meditation of our heart, and the doing of good, right? Coupled with communicating, right, to one another who is in the same covenant, right, with I. So we was looking at the hands, the both hands, right, and how we form the Trinity, right, on the head of the animal or of the creature, the Chayim. Chayim means life. We don't have a word animal in the KJV translation of it, but the literal word is life or the living one. So the question here, right, why was both hands placed on the head? Here to symbolize, right, to symbolize that it is a substitute for the person. How many of you all understood that? It's a life for life, eye for eye. It's the Hebrew karma, so to speak, the Hebrew karma, right, principle. Life for life, right, eye for eye. That this animal here is a substitute for the person. This is why the new covenant sense in Romans chapter, let's bring this forward right here so ones and ones can iterate and hopefully see, you know, the iritical and beautiful truth of this matter, you know, for oneself. What's the verse? Okay, Romans, yeah, Romans chapter, is it chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, right here. Hi, yes, I, Rastafari, Rastafari, hi. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Achim, Wendemoch, by the mercies of Exiadia, the sustainer, that ye, that y'all, present, remember the word present, makrev, karav, korban, presentation, the offering, brought near, right, your bodies, a living sacrifice. That I and I present our bodies, and thus, even with BMW, Bob Marley, and the Wills, I and I, a living sacrifice, not debtors, a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. How? Holy, set apart, acceptable to Exialia, acceptable to the sustainer, acceptable to High Lahim. That is your reasonable, right? That is your reasonable, come, make a reason. Rastaman in the Revelation say that. That is I and I reasonable service. And the service is the Abodah. The Abodah, interesting word. In Egypt, we was in Abodah, right? Abodah or Avodah. But we was in Avodah to their misinterpretation of the divine, right? You know, we was in Abodah, right? To them in employment, in service to them. But Jah says he brought us out to be his servant. Thank you.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments, and elaborate on.
Yes, Abba. Yes, I am elaborating on it. Fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Those are the words that Jehovah spoke himself. And the Israelites, they couldn't take it then. Hopefully we can fulfill it now. But that's not all. Here's the second verse, Romans chapter 12, that was verse 1, speaking about the Christian, the Messiahites, the Nazarene, the liberty, the Rastafari, liberty and service in his majesty, where we are besought, beseeched, like to beg. I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy, Lord of his mercy, by the mercies of Hailahim, the power, that ye, that you all present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Elohim, that is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. The world of flesh, the satanic seclore. But, however, on the other hand, be y'all transformed by the renewing of your mind, that y'all may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Exalia, the sustainer, will of Hailahim, Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God. Just to share that right there, because we're talking about sacrifice, right? And we're reading Leviticus, which in an Old Testament, Old Covenant sense, is like a divine Hebrew butcher shop, right? It might be a little bit too much for ones. But what's interesting is that for other Yehudi, this is often taught to the children initially. And people say, well, why is that? How can you teach them this? The ancient scribes and sages said because the children are pure. The children can overstand this. Because the children have a heart to the animals like the Almighty himself has. You have to recognize, since this is substitutionary, right? So in other words, putting your both hands on the head of that animal and say this is a sacrifice for doing something wrong, sinning or ucking up, you had to confess what you did, right? And then after you did that, right, on the north side of the courtyard, right, the north side, each side has its own particular purpose. The ark is in the west, so we face west in the tabernacle when we worship, and to the east, right, the sun is at our back. We don't worship the sun, right? We look to the east to see who will enter into his tabernacle, his temple. But in worship, we face the west, and on the north side is the sacrifice of the animals. That's why it says in the prophets, he has a sacrifice in the north. That's why we have to come out of these north countries. Yes, I, Rastafari. But after one would put the both hands and say what it is they had done, right, or what it is, the reason for this, then a knife is given, you know, a cutting instrument is given, right? And then the priest then, right, the priest or the officiating Levite, but usually the priest, would hold a bowl, right, near the neck of the animal. And that person who was offering it would have to, from ear to ear, right? So you have to just over the intensity of this, right? And I'm saying that it's not John said, I want you, I demand you do this. But the people from ancient times, even from the first times, I suspect from the Garden of Eden, that in the Garden of Eden, right, the forbidden fruit, right, was a living creature. Right. I know ones have different views, but we could get into that because as we study this sacrificial thing and saying, well, since it wasn't Jah who initially, right, required that, he says over and over he doesn't require these things, right? But in his long sufferingness, you know, has permitted these things. And with the children of Israel, he said, if a man is going to do it, then do it this way. There's consequences for doing it other way. I already spared y'all, you know, for what you do with the molten calf, Moshe, you know, he advocated for y'all, right? And now let's go forward this way. So this was actually a object lesson for the B'nai Yisrael, and this is why I give thanks to the Brit Chadasha, because then we can connect the iritical dots, you know what I mean? And also learn certain things, you know, through the ancient pictograph or the pattern graph, right, looking at the pattern, to symbolize a substitute for the person who brought it. The laying on of hands, right, is called the semicha, 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 the semicha, right? I don't know if that's a samek. If it is a samek, I got to look it up. I think it is a samek. The samek is a S glyph in the Hebrew that we link with the hand sign of His Majesty. If you look at His hand sign of His Majesty, sometimes in a triangular shape, sometimes it's more like in a kind of an O shape. Samek, it has that link there in the Hebrew glyphs. So this word, samicha, 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 or samicha, is the laying on of hands. It's like what happens in the consecration, even with the priest. We have this as well in the previous chapter, the consecration of the priest. There was, you know, ones and ones, the son of Israel will lay hands on them. In other words, y'all are a substitute for us. This is why they laid hands on the priest, in the sense of transference. This is why we say also, you know, may the right hand of fellowship, even in the Ethiopian liturgy, from the Hebrew groundation is let the right hand of fellowship, you know, I extend the right hand of fellowship to this brother, right? It's like that laying on of hands, that he's a brother because he can substitute for I. If I couldn't give my offering, I know that John would accept his offering, that is to say, right? So because I'm not going to be a human sacrifice because we don't do that, right, in that sense. But in the living sacrifice sense, the Moshiach show that. Here, here, here. 15 and 16. What is distinctive about a guilt offering? The guilt offering is called the asham. Asham. The asham offering. Right? Almost like a shame, but asham, right? The asham offering. What is distinctive about the guilt offering? Right? Restitution had to be made, usually 20%. Along with the sacrifice. Okay, so what is the guilt offering? Let's just go over the guilt offering, one of the five offerings, because one to offer the guilt offering, the one of guiltiness, rest upon them conscience. There's a word in the Brit Hadasha about being free, right, or cleanse them from the conscious, a conscience of sin, right, the consciousness of sin. That was interesting. Note that, I think it's Hebrews chapter 10, it's in the section verse 1 to verse 18, all right? Here we have the asham. So what is the asham? The asham, it goes along with the chatat, right? The chatat, right? So the chatat is obligatory, the sin offering, right? A sacrifice or a grain offering, offered in atonement or to cover, like almost like an insurance to cover accidental occurrence. But the guilt offering, the asham, this was a sacrifice offered to atone for defrauding others or for swearing or witnessing, swearing, affirming, swearing falsely. It's not swearing in the sense of somebody said a, you know, a bad word would be going into the sanctuary and worshiping Ha'ilahim as though you worship Baal or somebody else's Elohim Acharim. That would be kind of cursing in that sense, strong language, wrong language. But what it's saying in this section of the Torah, swearing falsely, it's if someone had borne witness and you heard them swear or bear witness to something that they would say they was going to do in the name of Hashem for me, and they don't do it. And now I go to the gates and to the judges or to the priests and I say, hey, there's a situation here. I demand justice and tzedek. Right? And then you are my witness because you heard this too, but you don't want to come forward. You don't want a business with it. That's a guilt offering for not being witness because you heard this oath, you heard this word, right? Basically, you fail to be a witness. You've seen something, you heard something, right? Especially an oath in the name of Hashem, in Jahneh. And now somebody needs you to be a witness. In that sense, you would have broken one of the 10 words. You know which one? You bore witness falsely because you failed to come forward to bear witness to the witness that you witness. Therefore, that's you bearing witness falsely. So in that case, a guilt offering, a sham offering was required, right, to atone for you defrauded I, or I defrauded I if I don't step forward and be a witness, if I seen or known this thing, right? But it's also dealing with business, too. There's a transactional, right? Let's get used to this word, transactional level, right? A transactional level right here. That the great majority of the asham, the guilt offerings, and even when speaking of sin, has to do with business. A lot has to do with business. You know, not how we do business for ourselves, but how we do business with others or defraud others, right? So therefore, this is why restitution had to be, you know, had to be made. And we also find it coming further, this principle of restitution. It's like when in court they say, a judge may say, how to use this language in court, plaintiff such and such, I'm trying to make you whole. I hope that this ruling here makes you whole. This is a sense of shalom in its liturgical use and in its other use, the shalom, paid in full, shalom, compensated. So shalom as peace also means well-being, that if I use your ox, right, and it was healthy, but somehow I overworked it or whatever, it ended up dead. I'm saying, oh, I'm so sorry, man, your ox died on me. Here's your ox. All right, that not go, all right? So when this now comes before the judges, the shoftim, to say when it comes before Elohim, those who are, you know, appointed, right, and even some who are anointed to carry out Elohim's decision, I had to give an asham, I might have to give a hatat offering, a sin, for my own conscience, and the asham offering, but with the asham offering, I had to pay 20%. That means that I had to give an offering because I wasn't willing to recognize, all right, bro, let's work this out. You know, how can I work out getting you another ox? But instead I claimed that your ox was just sick and everybody know it was healthy. So you had to get all your friends in the community to say the ox was healthy and everything. Now when I recognize I got no place to run, I'm like, oh, okay. So I go and I, you know, give the offering, right? But I just can't give Jah. I can't say to Jah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jah. Here's the offering to you. The priests are burning on the altar. I'm so sorry I did this to my brother and such and such. Agele, agele. You know what I mean? But I would have to replace the value of that ox, for example, plus 20%. Or elsewhere we find it in this third book of Moshe as a fifth. That's what it says, to add a fifth. Not plead the fifth, right, but to add a fifth. So that means that if the ox value was 100 shekels, you know, how many shekels would I have to give? I would have to give at least 120 shekels, right, and that fifth. So that's what's distinctive about the guilt offering, the asham offering, right? That was to atone or to cover. Basically, the word in the Hebrew to atone is to cover, right? That covers you in the community. In other words, if things are reversed and you did me that and didn't want to acknowledge that my ox I gave you to plow was healthy and everything, I had to go through all of this, right? Once that offering is done, even if I feel away, I'm supposed to burn my feeling. Otherwise, that feeling, right, that wayward, you know, that yetzer hara, that inclination to evil, that bad mind, bad feeling, is going to cause me now to do something that I might not be able to atone for. Right? So that means that also the receiver is satisfied that that which according to Torah has been fulfilled. So the asham required a restitution to be made, right? Plus a 20% along with the sacrifice, right? And there was court fees too. There were court fees. You know what I mean? Because remember, these things could have been worked out among man and man before it rises up, you know, to, we could say, a sacrifice. You know, that's just as obedience is better than to sacrifice, right? So here's the 16th question. What percentage of the 613 laws of Har Torah? It's been counted by the Rambam, a.k.a., you know, Maimonides. If you want to know everything about modern Judaism, how they think in the inclination, check out Maimonides. Some things he's right on. Some things, well, we can reason on that at another time. But he and others had counted, You know, in the Torah, you know, the commands, you know, where there is commandment, mitzvot, you know, ta'aseh, to do, or lo ta'aseh, not to do. And had come up with 613, and there's positive commands, in other words, ta'aseh, to do, and there is negative commands, lo ta'aseh, right? So of the 613 laws or Torah, direction, instruction, the ha-Torah, the direction instruction that are given in the book of Leviticus, what percentage? Over 40% right here, directions, instruction. And here I like to share this and say this. These directions, instructions also apply, right, in the new and the living way. Just want to point this out. These direction instructions also apply, not always according to the outer, the physical type, but in spirit, in soul, in psycho, spiritual, in spirit and in soul, in heart and mind, right? They also apply. But some, of course, also definitely do apply, you know, physically. You know what I mean? You know, like Yeshua was trying to get us to the irritical level where he says, well, you know, the law says that, you know, if you commit adultery, that's a physical act. But then he says, well, it really begins, first of all, begin cutting it out by cutting out the yetzer hara, that inclination to evil, to looking upon, you know, a man's woman and wife with lust. You know what I mean? Then you will cut that out right there. So just to see the transference, even as a sacrificial offering, also presents a, what are the Aishans, for example? Transferring something from one state of matter, one state of existence, one state of energy from the physical. Notice that an offering, even Aishans, goes from the physical level, right? And with the smoke, you know, and the ascension, you know, as it were, and the smell, you know what I mean, of the Aishans to a spiritual, literally and directly to the spiritual level. And ironically, brothers and sisters, take time to, you know, breathe. When I say breathe, you know, of course we breathe involuntarily, but to just recognize, you know, the blessedness of the breath. Why I say that is because people talk about spirituality. How often they talk about spiritual breathing techniques or even for us to be reminded. You know, just sometimes, you know, you take a good inhale and you're like, wow, that's so refreshing. Then I think, wow. You know, sometimes we just breathe and we never even contemplate it. You know, let's not let that last come. And then we think about all the missed opportunities to give thanks and praises. And eyes is I. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, we've got a couple more minutes right here. But let's
let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Oh, that right there was a 444, just right here on the new time, 444. What's the significance hebraically, brothers and sisters, of the 444?
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. As incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Before thee as incense.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress,
my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plant grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Yes, that is Shabbat the Seal song, moving forward this Thursday right here, and want to ride up right here with our Queen Marketer, Clean Hands, who may enter, who may abide, who may dwell, yes I, Rastafari.
The world and all can stand? Who can stand them? Who can stand? Who can stand them? Who can stand? Something offering. Yes, I.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana. Trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
World and they that
the world
therein,
and they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea,
he had born and he done the sea,
and established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jacob?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that has clean hands
and
a pure heart.
And your heart.
Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor scorned his
vanity.
He hath received the blessing from Jah-Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say,
shall come in.
And the King of glory, yes, the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
Say,
Emperor Haile
Selassie.
He is the King of glory.
Check it out, brothers and sisters. Also compared with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Just in the outro right here, going to go out with the culture, no sin, the Nayabingi dub, because this is the whole point of the Brit Hadasha, new covenant of the King of Kings Christ. Here, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, where it reads, I'm going to read it in the new way, right? But let's just read it right here, just basic. How much more shall the blood of Christ or the life of the anointed, who through the eternal spirit, the eternal Irid, offered himself without spot, without blemish, right, without defect to Hailahim, the power, the source. Purge your conscience from dead works, from dead works to serve the living Elohim, Elohim Hayim, the living power, the living God. Yes, I. That's from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. It's on the theme of conscience. There's a footnote here in the Scofield Study Bible that's connected with Hebrews chapter 10. And in the sixth part here, it's either the soul and the spirit that live independently, right, that live independently of like the death of the body. Now, the body is described as, quote, a tabernacle or a tent. But here it says a tent in which the I, quote, you know, like Selassie, I dwell. Yes, I, Rastafari here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. It says right here, when speaking of for the law, Torah, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices that they offered year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect. So the offering is symbolic of the intent, the spirit, the irid and intent, the inner man. Verse 2 says, for then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshipers once purged, a sense of purging, right, clean hands, right, a purified heart, should have had no more conscience of sins, of uckery. Yes, I, as I say, no carnal mind. Yes, I. God bless the eye, keep the eye, cause his face, his grace, and shine on the eye, and give the eye Yeshua, Shalom, the King of Kings, Christ, Salam, Yesu, Salam, yes, I, Rastafari.
We Shavua Tov Chavarim. Good strong seven. Shalom Chavarim.